The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 2, Text Number 5, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on June 22nd, 2011, in Khasadesh.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Munaya sadhu prishtoham. Munaya sadhu prishtoham bhavadbir lokamangalam bhavadbir lokamangalam yakrita krishna samprashno yatkrita krishna samprashno yenatma suprasidati yenatma suprasidati. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O sages, I have been justly questioned by you. Your questions are worthy because they relate to Lord Krishna and so are of relevance to the world's welfare. Only questions of this sort are capable of completely satisfying the self. Since it has been stated here and before that in the Bhagavatam the absolute truth is to be known, the questions of the sages of Naimisharanya are proper and just, because they pertain to Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth. In Bhagavad Gita 15:15, the Lord says that in all the Vedas there is nothing but the urge for searching after Him, Lord Krishna. Thus, the questions that pertain to Krishna are the sum and substance of all the Vedic inquiries. The whole world is full of questions and answers. The birds, beasts and men are all busy in the matter of perpetual questions and answers. In the morning, the birds in the nest become busy with questions and answers. And in the evening, also the same birds come back and again they become busy with questions and answers. The human being, unless he is fast asleep at night, is busy with questions and answers. The businessmen in the market are busy with questions and answers. And so also the lawyers in the court and the students in the schools and colleges. The legislators in the parliament are also busy with questions and answers. And the politicians and the press representatives are also busy with questions and answers. Although they go on making such questions and answers for their whole lives, they are not at all satisfied. Satisfaction of the soul can be obtained only by questions and answers on the subject of Krishna. Krishna is our most intimate friend, master, friend, father, son, and object of conjugal love. Forgetting Krishna, we have created so many objects of questions and answers, but none of them are able to give us complete satisfaction. All things but Krishna give temporary satisfaction only. So if we are to have complete satisfaction, we must take to the questions and answers about Krishna. We cannot live for a moment without being questioned or without giving answers. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam deals with questions and answers that are related to Krishna, we can derive the highest satisfaction only by reading and hearing this transcendental literature. One should learn the Srimad Bhagavatam and make an all-around solution to all problems pertaining to social, political, or religious matters. Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna are the sum total of all things. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatha Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. So everybody is asking questions and answers. Prabhupada gives the example of the birds. What sort of questions do birds ask? Chirp, chirp, chirp. Where is the worm? Where is the worm? Where is the worm? The businessman wants to know, where is the money? Where is the money? Where is the money? In this way, everyone is asking questions. And they are getting answers also. So we must take this question and answering propensity. And we must engage it in the service of the Absolute Truth. By inquiring, what is the nature of the Absolute Truth? Atato Brahma Jigyasa. This is the differentiating factor between human life and animal life. The animals are those who inquire about sense gratification. And the human beings are those who inquire about self-realization. So you can analyze your own heart. What are you inquiring about? Are you inquiring about self-realization? Or are you inquiring about sense gratification? If we ask about, if our mood is to learn more and more about sense gratification, we are animals, that's all. It is called Dvipada Pashu, two-legged animal. And when he becomes old, he is called Tripada Pashu, because he walks with the cane also, you see. That means three legs, two legs and one cane. Tripada Pashu, you see, three-legged animal. So you have a choice. You can be a human being or you can be animal. Depends on what you're interested in. Are you more interested in bhakti or more interested in sense gratification? That doesn't mean you have to deny sense gratification. You take as much sense gratification as is necessary to keep good health. But beyond that, you should only be interested in devotional service. How you can reawaken your loving relationship with God. Your situation within this world is not ultimately that important. Because it can end at any minute. At any minute we can leave this body. So more important is to be connected with God. Be connected with Krishna. Because then you're situated beyond the miseries of material existence. No matter what arrangement you may make in this material world, this is a miserable place. Doesn't matter if you're rich, you're poor, whether you're famous, whether no one's ever heard of you, whether everybody loves you, everybody hates you. It really doesn't matter. Because as soon as death comes, everything's finished. And then you begin a new chapter in a new body. So don't take this one spot life is the most important thing. This whole life, 50, 60, 80, 100 years, it's just like a flash in eternity. It's just a brief flash. You pop in, you pop into this life, pop, and then you pop out of it. Boom. So take full advantage of this by inquiring about the Absolute Truth. Who am I? Where have I come from? What is my ultimate destination? How can I achieve it as quickly and as easily as possible? These questions you must ask. Otherwise, what does Bhagavatam say? Shama eva hi kevalam. You're simply throwing your life away. If you got some valuable treasure, would you just throw it away? If you got some $1 million, would you just throw it away? So $1 million is nothing compared to this human life. To have a human body is a greater wealth than millions and billions of dollars. So take full advantage of this wealth you have achieved by using your human intelligence to understand why am I presently entrapped in the cycle of birth and death. And how can I get out of here? I don't want to suffer. But yet suffering is being forced upon me. Why? This doesn't seem natural. It just doesn't seem right that I, who want to always be happy, should have suffering forced upon me. Why am I suffering? And how can I get out of this suffering? A person who asks these sort of questions is becoming a human being. And such a person who is sincerely seeking the Absolute Truth will be guided by Krishna within to come in contact with the bona fide spiritual master, who will then enlighten him in the science of the soul and its relationship with the Supreme Soul. So today we're reading all about questions and answers. The one is meant to inquire about the Absolute Truth, just as the sages here have done. So, since you are all sages, you must have some questions. So now you can ask your question.
Why are we suffering?
Yes. Our suffering is due to the fact that we are trying to rebel against the authority of the Lord. Krishna declares in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshvaram. I am the owner of everything, therefore I am the rightful enjoyer of everything. But we are thinking, no, it is my property. It's like a little child playing with his toys. Some other child will come, and he will grab his toy and he will say, mine. You see? This is the mentality we have. We're thinking, this is mine. This is my money. This is my wife. This is my house. This is my. Therefore, we are suffering. A thief must always be in anxiety. Just like Prabhupada told us, one time he was walking in Calcutta with a police constable, a policeman. Prabhupada was walking with the policeman through the marketplace. And every few minutes he would notice some man would just go running as fast as he could in the opposite direction. So Prabhupada asked the policeman, why do we see all these men running away? The policeman is sky, but actually I'm not in pursuit of any criminal at this moment, but because these men are criminals, they're afraid I'm coming to capture them, and therefore they're running away. A thief, he must always be in anxiety, when the government will catch me, you see. Every time there's a knock on the door, he's afraid, oh, it is the police coming to arrest me, you see. One who is breaking the laws, he must always be in anxiety. So we are breaking the laws of God. He is telling us, this is all my property. And I am claiming, no, this is my property. This is my iPhone. This is my this, my that, you see. So in this way, we must be in anxiety. You see. But if you will give up this false conception that you are the owner, if you will acknowledge, near mama, nothing is mine. Everything is Krishna's property. And then you'll become happy. So do that. Stop being a rascal. Stop claiming that this is your property. This is my body. Just like the feminists, you see, they want to get pregnant and then have abortions. They want to enjoy sex pleasure. And there is pregnancy, then they want to get an abortion. They say, this is my body, I have a right to do whatever I want to with it. Therefore, I can kill the baby that has appeared in my body. But this is wrong, you see. Because it's not their body. Every body belongs to Krishna. And if a baby appears in the womb of a woman, it's not that she has a right to kill that baby because it appeared in her body. That woman's body is the property of Krishna. And that baby also is the property of Krishna. So you have no right to kill. So such people who defy the laws of God, they must be miserable. So we have to become pure. We have to give up illicit sex. Meat eating, intoxication and gambling. We must chant at least 16 rounds every day of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We must execute the regulated principles of devotional service under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master and the advanced devotees. So if we follow guru and sadhus in this way, we become happy. So, are there any more questions?
Yeah, I have a question. How to make Krishna the only goal of life and leaving aside all material desires and considerations?
How to make Krishna the only goal of life and leave all the material desires aside?
Yeah. You simply have to act for Krishna's satisfaction. That's Have one desire, and that is to please Krishna. It's not that you can become desireless, like the Buddhists say. The Buddhist philosophy is you must become desireless. But they are desiring to become desireless. Therefore, they are still desiring. So you cannot become desireless. That's an artificial position. You have to purify your desires by desiring for Krishna. In this way you become perfect. If you desire to become a millionaire, then desire to make $1,000,000 for Krishna. If you desire to become an artist, then desire to paint beautiful paintings of Krishna. If you desire to become a speaker, then desire to speak about Krishna. In this way, if you can purify your desires by connecting them with Krishna, no one said that you should try to become desireless. That is the artificial position of the Buddhists and the Mayavadis. So instead of trying to become desireless, you desire everything for Krishna. If you want to sing, sing for Krishna. If you want to dance, dance for Krishna. If you want to eat, take Krishna prasadam. In this way, purify all of your desires. If you want to become a leader, then lead people to Krishna. In this way, all your desires will become fulfilled. Do you understand?
Yes.
Next question.
How did life come into being? Why did we come to this material world?
Yes, why did we come to this material world? Actually, we were situated with Krishna in his eternal pastimes. But Krishna has endowed us with free will. In other words, you always have the freedom to either to be with Krishna or to leave Krishna. Krishna doesn't want to have the spiritual world filled up with slaves. Persons who are forced to remain with him against their will. It's no fun to have a slave, you see. A person doesn't really love you, you're forcing them to stay with you. But if a person actually loves you, then it's a very joyful relationship. So in order for us to be able to love Krishna, Krishna gives us the choice to love him or to leave him. So who would be such a fool to want to leave Krishna? But out of millions and billions of pure devotees in the spiritual world, in a very, very rarely, some living entity will feel like misusing their independence. So, that's what you did. And here you are now, suffering in this material world. But Krishna has given you all facility. He's giving you guru. He's giving you Vaishnavas. He's giving you the scriptures. He's giving you full facility. So that you can come back to your original position as his eternal servant in the spiritual sky. Does that answer your question? All right, next question.
前段时间我看的是佛教的一些视频，所以我想问一下那个大乘佛教里面他说那个发大愿心，因为那些佛教徒他们会看到地狱里面有很多人受苦，像他就会非常的同情，然后他就会发大愿心，为了去拯救那些地狱里面的那些受苦的灵魂，所以他会发大愿心让自己修行。 就是那种很苦的那种修习，然后我觉得那种精神很感动人，然后我就觉得，我也不知道怎么。
他们的大愿心是什么？
对，他们的大愿心就是为什么会有那么强的力量？
他们发什么大愿？新年的时候
是要普度众生，为了众生就四门。
OK， 那你的问题是什么？
我想问一下，
就
是他们的精神是不是和咱们那个关爱的这个？对他们那个发大愿心，我觉得那是一个正义的东西。
对，那你要问什么？
然后我想问，跟我们的父爱有什么联系？就是他们，我想，我觉得他们也应该是一种在接受一种教育的不同阶层，然后他们跟父爱的那个阶层之间的那个结合点在哪？发大愿心。对他们想拯救其他人，帮助其他人，
就怎么看待他们和 Krishna 之间的关系？
对，嗯，So what's the question?
So she said she's been reading some Buddhist scriptures recently, and she finds like there are two branches of Buddhism, and one of them is like some people they have lots of compassion towards the fallen souls.
Yeah.
So they do lots of austerities in order to deliver those fallen
and
suffering souls.
And the other?
She's very much touched by the spirit, and she wants to know what kind of relationship or what's the difference they have with the devotees.
The devotees. So you're saying there's a school of Buddhism where they have compassion for saving the fallen soul. Yeah. So the Krishna consciousness movement is the most compassionate movement for saving the fallen conditioned soul. The pure devotee of Krishna, he doesn't want to go back to Godhead unless he can deliver everyone in this material world back to Godhead along with him. There is one follower of Lord Chaitanya, his name is Vasudev Dutta. And he prayed to Lord Chaitanya that, my dear Lord, please give all the sinful reactions of all living entities in this material world to me so that they can all become delivered. So you will not find anyone more compassionate than the pure devotee of Krishna. Next question.
She was asking, like, what level are the Buddhists who are doing that?
What level?
In this comparison, there are two groups. So one is compassionate to all the living entities, and another group is not. So what level they are?
Compared with the devotees.
Yeah.
Compared with?
With the devotees, ISKCON devotees.
The ISKCON devotees compared with the Buddhists?
The Buddhists, those who are compassionate towards the other living entity.
Actually, you can't lump each individual as his own, has his own level of spiritual advancement. Within Krishna consciousness, you have devotees who are highly advanced Uttam Adhikari, who are fully absorbed in saving the fallen soul. Uttam Madhyamara. You also have devotees who are still hankering for material sense gratification, Kanishta Adhikari. So it's not every individual devotee has his own individual level of advancement. So it's not that you can just talk about the groups. You have to talk about individual people. That person who is completely pure in Krishna consciousness, there is no more compassionate person than him. He is on the topmost level of compassion. Does that answer your question?
Can I make a
point?
Can I make the point?
Or you can elaborate comparison. No, we'll jump to another one.
It's recording everything. I want them, so you can speak now. Huh?
The comparison between the Buddhist and ISKCON Hare Krishna devotees, there is a vast difference. Because they are not training anybody to become a devotee. and they can be compassionate. Compassion can be just material level, and another compassion that raising the people to the higher spiritual level so they can go back home, back to Godhead, whereas the other one, they remain in the material world.
That's a fact. Buddhism does not have the transcendental realization. Lord Buddha taught several religious principles to prepare the way for the Vaishnava Acharyas. So even though the Buddhists may have the idea of saving others, the Prabhupada explains the philosophical perfection of the of Buddhism is to merge into the causal ocean. In other words, they can't bring one all the way to an eternal position of liberation in the spiritual sky. The most one can achieve through the pure practice of Buddhism is a intermediary position, like the in between the material and spiritual world. So even though if there was a pure Buddhist realized person who was trying to save the people, he could only give them a temporary salvation. This is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Aruya Krishchena Parangpadam Tatapadam Yudodnadrish Padushtadam Yushmadangriya. That after undergoing great penances and austerities, such as the impersonal system or the Buddhist system, one may enter into the intermediary state between the material and spiritual worlds, but then one will fall down again to this material existence. In other words, a pure practice of Buddhism can bring you, give you temporary relief, but it cannot give permanent relief. So what is more compassionate, to give temporary relief or permanent relief? That is my question for you. I'm asking you this question. What is more compassionate? Temporary relief or permanent relief? Let me hear your answer.
Eternal.
Very good. So now you've understood. Thank you very much.
Wang 追求那个最完美的境界。你的问题是什么？
So, what's the question?
She just made a statement. She never asked a question, so I'm asking what's her question.
All right, somebody else ask a question now.
那你先想一想，想个问题出来，然后现在另外一个人再来问。比如说我们中国人所说的老天，包括基督教里面说的，就是上帝，这些跟奎斯拉他们是不是值得随意同一个？ 同一个人，比如说，包括我们，就是包括道教里面说的玄玄上人也是最高境界，就说在道教里面，他就说他创造了万物，也是，好像就跟奎斯拉是一样的，他也创造了万物，他都是同，是不是他们指的是同一个人？
The Chinese have a Chinese way of saying God, and the Christians have their way of saying God, and the Taoism they also have their way. They also have a supreme being.
So are they actually the same person or refers to?
Well, the God can be understood from different angles of vision. Some people, for most people, God appears in the form of death. So some people have see God as just the energy and personal energy. So there's different levels of seeing God. When he understands God as the Supreme Person, he has the highest level understanding.
Are they all the same?
The answer is yes. And the answer is no. They are simultaneously one and different. They have the Taoists, for example, have an impartial understanding of the Supreme. A partial understanding of the Supreme. The Buddhists have a partial understanding of the Supreme. So they are partially correct. But they are not fully correct. The fully correct version is given in Bhagavad Gita. The Taoists and the Buddhists, they have an impersonal understanding of the Absolute Truth. So that impersonal nature is there within God.
The impersonal nature.
It's not that God does not have an impersonal nature. But God has not only an impersonal nature, he also has a personal nature, both at the same time. So if you want to understand God in full, then you must come to Bhagavad Gita. Why is the Bhagavad Gita perfect? Because God himself is revealing himself. If I want to know about your life story, if I want to know about you as a person, who's the best person to tell me? You are the best person to tell me about yourself. Because you know yourself better than anyone else. So if you want to know about God, why not ask God about God? So God himself is speaking in Bhagavad Gita. So if you read Bhagavad Gita, you become better knowledge than any Taoist, any Buddhist, any Christian person. The Bible is not the word spoken by God. Different people have spoken about God, you see. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So many different people have spoken about God. But when God himself speaks about God, that is the highest level information. So that you will find only in Bhagavad Gita. You will not find that in the Taoist books of wisdom. Not in the Buddhist books of wisdom. Not in the Muslim or Christian or Jewish books of wisdom. You will not find God revealing himself. That you will find in the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita, Rajavidyam, it is the topmost knowledge.
Yeah. I think, does he have a Bhagavad Gita?
You have a Bhagavad Gita?
你有Bhagavad Gita吗？推荐了。你推荐过？还没有。还没有。暂时。他才两个。推荐看过一遍。
You have Bhagavad Gita as it is?
He said that he recommended it to him, but he doesn't have it, but he has read it once.
We have Bhagavad Gita.
You have one. Do you own a copy?
He does.
No, he does not.
Does not, then you must get one today. We have some here, you must get one. You need this knowledge. Now you're so concerned about people who have some mystic powers, you see. But now you become the most powerful mystic. By understanding Bhagavad Gita. Then you'll become the most powerful mystic. Any other questions?
Yeah. 也总会有各种各样愚蠢的想法，就是这种心意比较不定，是属于我们的业报呢，还是我们在做服务的时候做出了冒犯呢？就是如何就在服务的时候有效的控制住我们的心意，无论是唱诵的时候还是平时。
Even while doing devotional service, the mind still thinks of many foolish things. So she wants to know if this is because of karma or because of offense towards devotional service.
She says, even we are doing devotional service, mind thinks of foolish things.
That is due to your past bad habits.
Let me finish it. So is it due to the past karma or it is due to offenses to the devotees?
And how to efficiently control the mind?
Both. Let's answer one question at a time. It's both. Due to your past bad karma, you have a tendency to be offensive. So, it's all due to your past impious activities. So, you have, in other words, in the past you were very offensive. Your karma is to be offensive. So you have to stop acting as your old self. You have to become a new self. That's why we offer you second birth. Spiritual initiation is called second birth. Dvija, you are born again. So you can give up your old past bad habits of being offensive towards the devotees. Offensive towards the living entities. Just like mostly people were meat eaters, you see. That's so offensive thing to eat an animal. What an offensive thing you've done. A living creature who has feelings and emotions, just like you do. You've killed and eaten that creature. How offensive that is. So what's the second question?
How to efficiently control the mind.
Yes, how to control the mind. Actually, if you simply think about Krishna, how powerful is Krishna? How beautiful is Krishna? How renounced is Krishna? How wealthy is Krishna? How knowledgeable is Krishna? And how famous is Krishna? Your mind is automatically controlled. Yato yato nishchalati manaschanchalamashtaram tatastato niyam yaitad atman yevavisham niyad. Whenever you notice your mind is running away, you have to bring it back to Krishna. So you have a choice. You can be the servant of your mind, or you can be the master of your mind. Just like if someone gets a dog, of course, did they keep dogs here or they only eat dogs? In America, they like to keep the dogs. I think here they like to eat the dogs. In America, just like in India, the cow is sacred. In America, the dog is sacred. The American people make fun of the Indians for calling the cows as sacred, but they also have their sacred animal, the dog. So anyway, the point is this. What was the point I was making? The example was so vivid I got into the example. The people become
offensive.
Huh?
Offensive.
Yes.
Doing that kind of offense.
Yeah, people make the offense of eating the poor animals, you see. And so they become just like a dog, he cannot control his barking. He has no intelligence to understand that he is causing disturbance. Even there is no reason for him to bark, he will bark. Roof, 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 roof. That is the dog's nature, you see. So we also have that nature to be very offensive. So we have to become twice born. We have to give up this offensive nature by taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Just like today, we have some very good news. Jeffrey is today taking formal shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. Can hand me the right there by the computer. Stand up. See by the computer, there's my photograph there and a sheet of paper. Hand those to me. Yes, and the sheet of paper as well. Yes. So today Jeffrey is taking formal shelter. Now you can say your obeisances. Bow down all the way on the floor and read it out and read it then.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bhutaya Bhutane Shrimate Sankarsanda Adhikari Iti Namine Namo Prabhupada Nuga Prima Murti Kripatmane Gordesa Vikasarta Utam Bhakti Vasime.
So now if he follows very nicely this process, then he will soon be recommended for initiation. So by this process of taking shelter of Guru and becoming initiated and acting under the orders of one's spiritual master, then one is able to give up all of his bad habits and become firmly fixed in devotional service. So we recommend that all of you should take this step that Jeffrey is now taking. Chant 16 rounds regularly. At least 16 rounds. Following the four regulative principles. We have many wonderful spiritual masters in ISKCON. You can take shelter of one of them. And in this way, by serving the orders of your Guru Maharaj, you will give up all of your past bad habits. You will become firmly fixed in devotional service. You will develop ruchi or taste. You will achieve attachment, or it's called asakti. You will become very attached to Krishna. And then you will go even beyond the sadhana bhakti platform. You will come to the higher levels gradually. The emotions will intensify within your heart. That's called bhava. And finally, you will achieve the ultimate goal of pure Krishna prema. So, by taking shelter and becoming initiated by the spiritual master, give up your false independence. Simply become the servant of your spiritual master. That's all. And then you can walk away from all of these bad habits, this offensive nature. This is the secret. Take shelter. Rupa Goswami says, Adau Garashvayam. The very first thing is take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. That's the secret of how to get free from all that garbage that's sitting in your heart. Did you know you have a lot of garbage in your heart? Your heart is like a big dumpster. Full of tons and tons of garbage. accumulated for millions of lifetimes. For millions of lifetimes, you've accumulated this garbage. And you've never taken out the trash. Therefore, it's very, your heart is very polluted with garbage. You see. The spiritual master, he will clean, help you to clean away all of that dirt from your heart. So everyone therefore should take this process very seriously, become qualified to take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. By working very nicely with your local leaders, chanting your japa very nicely, following our principles, in this way you become qualified. Any other questions?
就是那个世界上为什么有这么多宗教，为什么那个宗教冲突啊非常严重。
Why are there so many religions in this world and there's so many conflicts among the
religions? Yes, why there's so many religions and so many conflicts? That's because they have not followed the order of the Supreme.
这就是因为他们没有遵守至尊者的意志。
Religion is one.
宗教其实是
Become a lover of God.
就是爱神。
Dharman tu sakshat bhagavat pranitan. That one religion is given by God. But man has invented so many religions. Buddhism, Jainism, Sikhism, Judaism, Christianity, Islam. These are inventions. These are man-made inventions. And therefore there's so much fighting.
You see?
And all these religions are materialistic. They go to God for material gain. But the Srimad Bhagavatam rejects all of these bogus religions. Dharman Susakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. It's given by God. What is that verse on? Dharmak Prajita Kaitava Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam. Vejam Vastavamastu Shivadam Tapyatrayon Mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamune Krite King Vayaparishvaraha Sadhya Hidya Varujate Kritibishu Shrushubish Tachanam. This is Bhagavata. Completely rejecting all religion that is materially motivated. This Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth, which is reality distinguished from illusion. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God realization. What need is there of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of the Bhagavatam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes fully established within his heart. It's an irrevocable fact. So we do not deny the truths of these other religions. But actually this term religions is an inaccurate term. There's not such thing as religions, plural. It's a concocted idea that imperfect men have made up. There's only one religion. There's only one religion. Become a lover of God, that's all. We have no objection if you call him Buddha or Allah or Christ or Krishna. Whatever name you get from your scripture, that's all right. Religion is one, that's all. There's no such thing as two religions. This is not religion. When they talk about religions, it's not religion. As soon as you add an S to the end, make it plural form, then it's not religion anymore. It's religiosity. It's concoction.
只要你讲的这个宗教上面加一个复数，这就不叫宗教了，这就属于异教。
There's one religion, and that's become a true lover of God.
只有一门宗教，那就成了一个真正的。
If a Buddhist becomes a true lover of God, he's a first-class sadhu.
如果一个佛教徒成了神爱神的人，他就是一。
If a Christian becomes a true lover of God, he's a first-class sadhu.
如果一个基督教徒成了真正爱神的人，他也。
If a Hindu becomes a true lover of God, he's a first-class sadhu.
如果一个印度教徒他成了真正。
If a Muslim becomes a true lover of God, he's a first-class sadhu.
如果一个穆斯林成了真正爱神的人，他也。
God does not make these distinctions.
神不会做出区分的。
These are man-made materialistic ideas.
这是人类。
And therefore, they cause so much trouble in the world. This Krishna consciousness movement is teaching the pure science of bhakti. We are not presenting another religion. Do you understand? I'm not trying to teach you to convert to a religion. You already have a religious nature because you are a lover of God.But that pure love of God is covered by the dirt of this material existence. I have not come to convert you to religion. I have simply come to clean that dirt out of your heart. I have simply come to show you how to clean the dirt out of your heart. That's it. Not how to be a member of religion.
我在问，在我最先就是看到我们国家的《易经》，最后我又通过朋友看到，就是看到你们就是我这方面的国家方面，我觉得他们的论述是非常惊人的相似。我想，就说《易经》它也是5000多年前形成的，也是，就说它和这个佛家梵歌或者说那个《维陀经》，他们是不是有一些联系？或者会，他们会以不同的方式向世人宣展示出来，就说宇宙的真相，就一个真理。
不同的方式来展现同一个真理。
我就想问一下，是。
So he has read 易经 ，and then 易经 ，and then he read Bhagavad Gita, and they find that both amazingly similar. So he wants to know, are they actually like presenting the truth in different ways?
He has read 易经 and he has read Bhagavad Gita.
易经。
And I Ching and Bhagavad Gita teachings are both similar.
Yes, they are similar. Yes. I've also read the I Ching. The I Ching is, will take you to the mode of goodness. But it will not take you beyond the mode of goodness. Just like sometimes in my lectures, I quote the I Ching.There's a very nice, my favorite sloka in the I Ching is this sloka. Perseverance furthers.
Sorry?
Perseverance furthers. Do you understand? Furthers means, that's how they translate it in English. It's very nicely translated, but it may be hard for you. Perseverance means when you stick to something and without deviation.
Yeah.
And furthers means it advances you. So the I Ching says if you are very steady and determined in your activities, that's how you make progress. So the I Ching has very nice knowledge. But it can only bring you to the material mode of goodness. The I Ching is very good training to help you come into the Bhagavad Gita. It's a very good preliminary training for the Bhagavad Gita. If you follow the I Ching very sincerely, it will help you to be a better devotee of Krishna. But if you take the I Ching only without the Bhagavad Gita,You may become a pious man, but you will not become delivered from the cycle of birth and death.
You can't bypass the cycle of birth and death. 对宇宙的起源， 对事物的认识，对物质，包括物质和反物质的说，已经变成阴阳。物质和反物质这些论述都是非常的，比如说跟国家反过，只是不同的方式来表现，这是我的感觉。我刚才问的是不是他们就说是说的同一个东西？是。
He's saying that the Yi Jin they describe very similar thing, like how the world come about, how things function in this world.
That's right. That's right. But how to get out of the material world, but how to get out of it, that you will only find in Bhagavad Gita. So what is it?
No question, but he's saying, you see, like, Yi Jin is using a more esoteric, like, describe things in a more esoteric way. His Bhagavad Gita is like the language is more simple, so for, it's like for the people on the lower energy level.
The Yi Jin can help and become a good candidate for studying the Bhagavad Gita. One can learn how to become equipoised. One can learn how to become pious, man. The I Ching is a very good book. I very much fond of your I Ching. I read it many years ago when I was a young spiritual seeker. I'm very much fond of your I Ching book. It's a very good book to help you come to the mode of goodness. But it will not liberate you from the cycle of birth and death. For that, you require Bhagavad Gita. A lot of the knowledge is the same. But the Bhagavad Gita gives knowledge which is not contained in the I Ching. Who is the supreme? Where does the I Ching reveal who is the supreme personality of Godhead? That is not given. Where is the process of surrendering to the supreme personality of Godhead given in the I Ching? It is not given. So you must, to your I Ching knowledge, you must add Bhagavad Gita. And then you become the perfect follower of the I Ching.
Yeah. 因为终极来说一切智慧都来自于 Krishna， 所以就是任何人或给的教导或者是从任何经典上看到的就是智慧的话语，只要能够用来为方案服务的话都是正确的，而不只限于从薄伽梵歌和圣殿薄伽瓦坛这些经典啊获取知识，还是说
Okay, what's the question?
So she's saying, since everything comes from Krishna, like all the wisdom or whatever, everything comes from Krishna, so can we also like try to see everything we get from anywhere else, like also part of way to realize Krishna, not just to read Bhagavad Gita?
All the what? Puddles?
Huh?
All the what?
Like for example, we don't emphasize only read Bhagavad Gita, because if we see anything else that is give us wisdom or bring us closer to Krishna.
Well, ignorance is also coming from Krishna. Ignorance. Sabashacham Shrijisana Vishto Mataksmatir Gyanam Apohanam Cha. Bhagavad Gita chapter 15, text 15. Krishna says, I am the source of knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. I am seated in the heart of all living beings. So just because something is out there in the bookstore doesn't mean that it's going to help me become Krishna conscious. The fact is that 99.99999999999% of the literature of today's world will simply make you forget Krishna. So you should ask the spiritual master what you should read and what you should not read. Don't you go off to the library and the bookstore and just reading. I guarantee you'll become bewildered. You find out from the spiritual master what books are beneficial for your Krishna consciousness and which books are not. And you must only read those books that are beneficial for your Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, you'll have a brain like a noodle. Don't be a noodle brain.
But
sometimes because we have a certain major in the university, so we have to read lots of...
Well, for your university studies, you have to study so much nations. That's all right. For your studies in the university, you have to do that, then you should do them. You have to remember you're drinking in poison. Those books are poison. So along with reading your college books, you must read Prabhupada's books because Prabhupada's books are the antidote for the poison. Bhaktivinoda Thakura has written a bhajan about studying in the university. You know that bhajan by Bhaktivinoda Thakura? He said, all of this mundane studies, it has made me more foolish than an ass. He said, this realization is piercing my heart like a burning dart. So you must always remember this. The universities are centers of nations. You can use it for Krishna, it's okay. I want you to continue your university studies. I want you to be a number one student. But you have to understand it's nations. Okay?
Technical books poison also.
Huh?
Technical books.
Technical.
Yes, it's all poison. How many times, if the book doesn't have the name Krishna in it, it's poison. You can use it for Krishna. But it's poison.
It's poison for you, but
becomes nectar.
Becomes nectar
if you use it for Krishna, you see. Just like in the university, you may study C++. It is simply poison. But when you use that C++ in Krishna's service, then it becomes nectar. Is it? Any material thing, when you use it for Krishna and it regains, then it becomes spiritualized. Okay, any other? I hate to stop, but we have to at a certain point. Okay.
当我们感觉到自己内心对别人有怜悯之心，别人分享 Krishna 知觉，使别人受益的时候，这时候我们应该为自己的这种 灵性进步感的高兴，还是我们应该就是始终认为自己仍然非常堕落，而自己只不过是一个Krishna Guru 微不足道的工具，不应该认为自己具有怜悯之心，就是这两种哪一种心态是更好一些，更有利于我们 Krishna 自己在 Krishna 自己中进步。
And when we have some compassion and preaching to the conditioned souls, should we feel happy about our spiritual advancement, or should we
happy about our spiritual
advancement,
or should we just feel we are actually just some little instrument?
Or just should we understand that it's a little instrument? When we preach to somebody, then should we feel happy that we are making advancement, or is just instrument?
Which mentality?
Why not both?
Which mentality is better?
Why not both? If you're not happy in Krishna consciousness, then how you can inspire them to take to Krishna consciousness? It's like I have come to your country to give you Krishna consciousness. Whatever I realize, I want to share with you about Krishna. You see? Now I'm very happy to do that. I feel really enlivened. Coming in the airplane, I was looking out the window. Oh, there is China. I'm very, very enlivened and happy to be here sharing with you about Krishna. It makes me feel really, really good. So there's nothing wrong with them. You have to be enlivened. At the same time, I understand that I'm simply an instrument. I'm Prabhupada's instrument. That's it. I'm not the doer. It's Prabhupada acting through me. That's it. I'm simply a messenger on behalf of Prabhupada. But I'm very, very happy to be bringing the message of Prabhupada to you. I'm loving it.